My text tonight is James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, God the Holy Spirit tells us about a great, great multitude of people who for 40 years, heard the gospel preached even as we do. For 40 years. God Himself spoke to Moses, and Moses to Aaron, and Moses and Aaron to the people. God gave His law at Sinai. God gave the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the sacrifices. And God gave His word. Christ, the rock, followed them through the wilderness for 40 years. The light of the glory of God lit up the heavens by night, and it stood as a pillar of cloud by day for 40 years. They heard the gospel preached, even as we do. God fed them manna from heaven every day for 40 years. They walked in the presence of God for 40 years. And then the Holy Spirit tells us what is almost, were it not written in the book of God, it would be indeed an unbelievably sad thing about those people. He says, but the word preached did not profit them. Imagine that. Imagine that. Hearing the gospel. Hearing the gospel with miraculous signs and wonders every day for 40 years. But the word preached did not profit them. That statement rings in my soul as an alarming sound to which I pray God will cause me to pay attention, and by which I pray He will teach me and teach you. What woe they must suffer in hell who have heard the gospel preached, of whom God the Holy Ghost declares, but the word preached did not profit them. It didn't do them one bit of good. It didn't help them at all. It was of no benefit to their souls because they didn't believe God. With that as an introduction to my message, hear the instruction God gives us in James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. As God the Holy Spirit will enable me, I want to talk to you as bluntly as I possibly can, once more about hearing the word of God. The title of my message is found in our text, Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Do you sometimes wonder why you get so little from the worship services you attend? Do you wonder why the message preached seems to be so impressive at the time you hear it, and then is so quickly forgotten? Escapes you. Do you want to get more get the greatest possible benefit from the Word of God, from the worship of God, from hearing the gospel of God's grace. They sometimes wonder why it is that God seems so profoundly to speak to others and doesn't speak to you. God, the Holy Spirit, answers these questions for us in our text. And He tells us plainly that if we don't profit by the gospel we hear, if we don't profit by the gospel preached to us, if we don't profit by the word and worship of God, the fault is entirely our own. So, but Brother Don, we depend on God to speak to us. I know that. If God doesn't speak, we can't hear. I'm fully aware of that. But God makes it plain. God makes it plain that if we do not profit by His word, by His worship, by His ordinance, the fault is entirely our own. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Nothing this side of heaven, I have told you many, many times, nothing this side of heaven is of more importance to your soul than the public ministry of the word. Nothing. As I was preparing this message last night and today, I had my mind a good bit on preparation for the ordination service, Brother Frank Hall down in North Carolina in just a few weeks. God has sent His word to that place. I'm going to do everything I can to try to persuade my nephews and their families to come hear the gospel. They live right there. They live right there. Oh, what a privilege. God sent right next door to them and has established right next door to them the light of the gospel of His free grace. What a privilege. What a privilege. Nothing compares with it. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now let me make five statements with regard to this thing of gospel preaching and faith in Christ. Nothing new, but statements that need to be remembered, need to be emphasized, need to be understood. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans the 10th chapter. These are matters of absolute certainty. These are matters of absolute certainty. Number one, anyone in the world who calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ in true faith is saved. Anyone. That means if you call on Him, you are saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see that verse 13? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word means to worship God. Whosoever worships God in Christ Jesus, worships God as He's revealed Himself in this book, in His Son, that person is saved. All who do. Number two, no one can call upon Christ in true faith unless he believes the record God has given of His Son in this book. Now let me emphasize that. I can't say it with enough force. I can't say it bluntly enough. I can't say it plain enough. No one can call upon Christ in true faith unless he believes what God has said in this book about His Son. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You can't trust an unknown Christ. You can't trust a God you don't know. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is walking in the light. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Those who are born of God, taught of God, believe the truth of God. Now, I know people say, well, Brother Fortner says, all these folks are lost in all these other churches. Brother Fortner never said any such thing. Never said any such thing. What I have said is that all who are born of God believe the record of God concerning his son. And you conclude, well, my sister doesn't believe that. Well, your sister's lost then. And you made that conclusion, not me. Well, my daddy doesn't believe that. Well, your daddy's lost then. You made that conclusion, not me. Well, my wife is lost then. You made that conclusion, not me. The book of God declares, how shall they call on him whom they've not believed? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God. There are certain things revealed in this book. Men and women who are born of God all believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is God. God incarnate. God who came here on this earth and accomplished redemption for his people. God who sits in our flesh on the throne of glory and soon shall come again, who rules all things and will judge all things according to his word. Number three, no one can savingly believe on Christ until he hears the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 14. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Renee, that's pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty plain. You can't believe until you hear. And you can't hear without a preacher. I know people have the idea that somehow you can bypass this matter of preaching. And folks say, well, you limit God when you say God saves men by the preaching of the gospel. Oh, no. God has revealed what God's going to do. And God has revealed to us that the way he saves his people is by the preaching of the word. And he doesn't save them some other way. The Lord God Almighty is absolutely sovereign. He gives life to whom he will. He saves whom he will. But he saves sinners as he will by the gospel as he has ordained. Now the scriptures are abundantly clear. Abundantly clear. That Ethiopian eunuch was riding back from Jerusalem after going up there at the feast. And he's reading Isaiah 53. Now Isaiah 53 is pretty plain, isn't it? It's pretty plain. It is if you can read. The problem is most folks can't read. It's plain as sun if you've got eyes to see. The problem is most folks are blind. That fellow is reading audibly the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And as he's reading, the time appointed by God when he should be converted had come. Well, how's that going to happen? There's nobody there to tell him about it. But God miraculously sends an evangelist down there by the name of Philip. And he's walking along, beside that chariot. And he hears that fellow reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip looked up at that eunuch and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man show me? You can't understand this book. You can't know this book apart from God revealing it to you and teaching it to you by the faithful exposition of his word through the faithful preaching of the gospel. That's how important this is. Well, I believe a fellow can be saved if he just reads the Bible, or if he's just sincere and he goes out on a riverbank and he thinks about God. God can save folks that way. God can't. He can save you by shooting you between the eyes if he wanted to. That's not the way he ordained to do it. God saves sinners by the preaching of the gospel. Number four, no one can ever hear the gospel without a preacher. Look at verse 14. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? What a blessing when God sends the gospel to you. When God causes you to hear the gospel of his grace. sitting back here in the office. Brother Bobby got here a little bit early tonight. He's talking about his wife, Judy. God took her, 59 years old. Took her with cancer. And she did everything right. Your words. And that's right. She ate good food, healthy food. She kept her weight off. She exercised. She didn't smoke. As far as I know, she didn't drink. Didn't drink anything. Maybe have some cough syrup when she needed. I don't know. But did everything right. 59 years old, died of lung cancer. Her appointed time. He said, I have often thought, we're all leaving here when our work is done, and Judy's work was to bring me here to hear the gospel. Because I didn't know God. You can't believe God. You can't trust Christ. You can't be born of God apart from the preaching of the gospel. And fifthly, no man can truly preach the gospel. No man can truly preach the gospel in the power of God the Holy Spirit unless God sends him. How shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? I'm fully convinced that's not just talking about initially sending a man out. We send our brethren out to preach the gospel. You send me out to preach the gospel. I come here to preach the gospel. It's talking about every time a man stands to speak for God. He can't do it unless God sends him with his word and his message for that hour. But if a man is sent of God, you can be sure of this, he preaches. He preaches. And he preaches the gospel. One of the first comments Brother Merle Hart made to me that I remember, one of the very first he made to me that I remember, after listening to a fellow talk about preaching the gospel for nearly an hour, everybody else was gone, just Merle and I standing here, he said, Brother Don, I thank God you don't talk to us about preaching the gospel. You preach the gospel. There's a big difference. The man who is sent of God preaches, and he preaches the gospel. And he preaches it with boldness. With boldness. If you, I'm sometimes asked, you wouldn't preach like that over there, would you? Come and find out. Give me the opportunity. Just make the opportunity. If you want to see a fella preach with boldness, you put John the Baptist before Herod and find out what happens. You put Nathan before David and see what happens. You put God's servant with his back against the wall with a bunch of folks who flat despise the gospel of God's grace, and I'll tell you what you'll hear. You'll hear a man speak God's word with boldness. And he preaches, he always preaches effectually. God's going to do something tonight. If he sent me here, if I speak by him, he's going to do something tonight. He's either going to cause his word to be to you a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. In this day called the end of the age, the Lord God sends his angels out into his vineyard to gather in his wheat into the garner and to bind up the tares for the burning. And the gospel always does one or the other. I repeat myself deliberately. Nothing this side of eternity is more important, nothing more vital to the souls of men than the preaching of the gospel. Look at verse 15. As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let's look at our text. I'll wrap this up by showing you three things that God the Holy Spirit tells us to do that we may profit by the hearing of the word. All right, look at our text. James chapter 1, verse 21. If you would receive benefit from the preaching of the gospel, you need to make preparations to hear the message. There's something to be done before you hear the sermon. You need to make preparations for it. James says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. It seems to me to be the very height of folly and presumption to suppose that we can come to worship God and hear the gospel of His grace with no preparation. I pray that God will keep us from that. I say it is the height of presumption and the height of folly. But oh my God, I confess to you how I practice that presumption and that folly. Do you? Let us remember who He is in whose name we come together. Surely, if we do, we won't rush in without fault. Let us remember who He is that we claim to worship. And we won't rush in like folks running to see a fire, or teenagers going to a party, or folks going to a ball game. We've come here to worship God. That's why we're here, isn't it? We've come here, Brother Mark just prayed that God might speak to us by His Word. Show us Himself. Show us ourselves. Show us His Son. That's why we came here. Surely then, we ought to prepare our hearts and our minds to worship Him. The saints of old prepared themselves for worship. Read the Old Testament scriptures, and before they went to the house of worship, before they kept the feast, before they brought sacrifices to God, folks were required to bathe themselves, to sanctify themselves. Those ceremonial purifications, portraying for us our necessary preparation for worshiping our God. We should do what we can to make ourselves ready to hear the word, ready to receive the blessings God is ready to bestow. When we spend time preparing our bodies, preparing our clothes to wear to the worship service, is it not reasonable that we should prepare our hearts? James tells us that in preparing to hear the word of God, look at your text there, there are some things we must lay aside. Lay aside, he says, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. The filthiness of sin. The superfluity, the boiling over of covetousness. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The naughtiness of malice, ill intent. The wrath of man, he tells us in verse 20, worketh not the righteousness of God. Over in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the apostle urges us to walk in the Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the way he urges us to do that is this. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And he's not talking about cussing folks out. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about talking bad about folks. Gossiping. I've just got, I hate to say this, but I just got to tell this. But Brother Charlie, you know what Bill said? You know what he did? don't grieve the Spirit of God with filthy communication. Listen to what it says. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The word followers is imitators. Imitate God. Imitate God as his dear children. Like a son imitating the father he admires in love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In a word, this is what James is saying. Put aside the corruptions of your heart and the cares of the world that you may receive God's word. Why must we do that? Why must we put them aside? The answer is so obvious, it doesn't need much comment. You can't hear God while you're absorbed with other things. You can't hear God while you're absorbed with malice, or while you're absorbed with carnal ambition, or while you're absorbed with the cares of the day. How often these men lead us in prayer and pray, God, take our minds, at least for this hour, away from all the care of the day. Take our minds away from that, at least for this hour, and let us hear from heaven. You can't be absorbed with the world and be absorbed with divine truth at the same time. People ought to take care, for these things are like suckers on a plant. They draw out strength and energy from the plant. Perhaps you're thinking, well, Brother Don, how can I put those things out of my mind? I can't give you a magical answer. I can't give you any absolute answers. I can tell you what helps me. I'll tell you what helps me. Confess your sin. You have no way of knowing what's going on in my mind when I'm sitting here, except I tell you. I look out over you, congregation, I look into your faces, and I call your names to God in prayer. And I beg God for grace from his Spirit to help me preach the word. And I confess and confess and confess and confess my sin. Not once in a while, Lindsay. Every time I enter this place. Just right now. Confess your sin if you're going to hear God's word. Bathe your soul afresh in the blood of Christ. Seek the Lord before you come here. When you're preparing. And I know, like tonight, you folks have all come from a hard day's work and you have to rush to get here. On your way here, ask God to speak to you. Ask God to take your mind off of the other things and speak to you by his word. Jeremiah said, then shall ye call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Come early to the house of God. Settle in where you are and speak to one another about the word. Sunday mornings, pick up the lessons, the bulletins, read the articles, go over the hymns, read the scriptures, and try to seek the Lord. Ask him for grace to seek him. And when you're listening, If you have trouble keeping your mind on what's being said, take notes. Whatever you have to remember the word that's preached. Look at verse 21 again. The word wherefore refers to that which immediately precedes it. James tells us every good gift comes from God. Of his own will he begot us with the word of truth. And then he says in verse 19, wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, in the light of these things, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. The filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, James tells us to lay aside, has to do with that pride, that arrogance, that self-righteousness that causes men to be stirred up in wrath against God's word and against the things of God. That causes people to speak rashly against the gospel of God's grace. The text might be read this way. On account of this, having put aside all filthiness and overflowing evil, in meekness receive the implanted word, being able to save your souls. This is what James is saying to us. Since you've laid aside the filthiness of the flesh, the superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the word of God that's been implanted in you. The word that's able to save your souls. Filthiness refers to the filth of our nature. Put it aside. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. Put it aside. Say no to the lust of the flesh. The superfluity of naughtiness. John Gill suggests, and I think he's right, has a specific reference to the Old Testament ordinance of circumcision. Strange that James, who pastored the Jews, should write to the Jews and make reference to circumcision and talk about the superfluity of naughtiness. He's telling us to put aside that superfluity of self-righteous works religion. Just as a man circumcised in the flesh has circumcised and cut away that which is filthy, that which is unneeded, that which is meaningless. So in the circumcision of the heart, God circumcises the heart and cuts away all sense of worth before God, all sense of personal righteousness before God. And you and I must lay aside every proud, arrogant, high thought we have about ourselves and our righteousness. Before the sermon, as we prepare to come to the house of God, let us come to hear the gospel, laying aside, laying apart all filthiness and all proud self-righteousness. Second, if we would profit by the word, we must receive the word as it is preached while we hear it. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now understand this. You cannot receive the word preached until you have received the word by the implanting of grace. Until the word of God has been planted in your heart, you can't receive it. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, our Lord said to as many as, or John said to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That word means to receive like that glass received water. And that's how you first receive the word of God. God puts the seed of life in you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. And when God puts the word of life in you, when God puts in you the engrafted word, then you receive with meekness that engrafted word. That word, the word that's used here in James, is this word, I'm about to receive some water. That involved, Merle, a thirst, a desire, and a taking. A thirst, a desire, and a taking. James is saying to us then, we in whom God has planted His Word, beg of God to give you a thirst for, a desire for, and a taking of this engrafted Word. Yet James tells us that we must do it. We must receive the Word or we won't profit by it. The gospel is a feast to be eaten, wine to be drunk, medicine to be swallowed, a refreshing shower to be soaked up. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. I love to preach to folks who just soak up the Word, who just soak it up. Solomon said, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Folks who are full, they don't care to get anything else to eat. I feast at the table most sumptuously prepared all the time. My wife, man, she can cook. Oh, last night we had some of her bacon pasta with Alfredo sauce, and I ate till I didn't want any more of the pasta. If she picked it up and said, "Here, have another bite," I said, "Honey, I don't want it." Because the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. Doesn't matter how good or how sweet it is. And so there are many who think themselves full, and they despise the Word of God and despise the preaching of the gospel, and they make light of the fellow who's doing the preaching, and they yak and carry on, and they find fault here and there. But the hungry soul, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. To the hungry soul, oh, just give me some food. I don't care how bitter it is. Receive God's Word with meekness. If the preacher declares God's Word to you, hear him. If he doesn't declare the Word of God, you shouldn't be listening to him. You're not to judge the Word or analyze the Word or criticize the Word. We're to receive it. Except you be converted and become as little children. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? If God by His Word reproves you, receive it with meekness. If the Word shocks you, receive it with meekness. When the Word gives you pain and hurts, receive it with meekness. When it baffles your understanding, receive it with meekness. When the Word of God crosses your will, bow to it and receive it with meekness. When the Word of God goes against your religious notions, customs, and traditions, bow to it and receive it with meekness. The book of God, this book alone, is our rule of life, our creed. This book alone is our standard of faith. All Scripture profitable to our souls, given by inspiration of God, and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction in righteousness. Profitable for everything our souls need. The book is. Everything our souls need. If you would obtain the blessing of grace, you must receive the gospel of God's grace. And if you're a disciple of Christ, you do. We receive the Word of God in its entirety. We receive the book, what it says about God, about ourselves, about redemption and grace and salvation. And we ask God to speak to us by His Word. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth Thee. I've told you about a little boy who sat right on the front pew in front of Mr. Spurgeon at the tabernacle. And he had leaned forward and put his hands on his knees and listened just like this. And he put his elbows on his knees and hands behind his ears and listened just like this. And Spurgeon was concerned about it. So he met him at the door one day and he said, "Son, are you having trouble hearing me?" He said, "Oh, no, Mr. Spurgeon. Oh, no." He said, "I noticed you holding your hands like this and leaning over like you're just having trouble hearing me." He said, "Oh, no." He said, Mama told me that if God speaks to me, he's going to speak to me through your voice, and I don't want to miss God's voice." Oh, God give me grace to hear the word that way, and God give you grace to hear his word that way. Receive with meekness this word, this engrafted word that's able to save your souls. In order to graft one tree into another, you've got to make two cuts. One in the original stock and one in the branch to be put in, grafted to it. Even so, the Word of God does its work when the bleeding heart of a wounded sinner is united to the believing Savior. When the bleeding heart of the wounded sinner is united to the bleeding Savior. Oh, my God, give me grace so to receive your word, which is quick and powerful, able to save your souls. One last thing. After the sermon, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Doers of the word. Not just listeners. Believe it, embrace it, obey it. I've given you some things to do. Hopefully, to draw your hearts to the Redeemer. Hopefully, to setting your face heavenward. Be doers of the word. Believe the gospel. Obey the gospel. Live by the gospel. I've been thinking a good bit about the quotes from Mr. Bush. Actually, a quote from Francis of Assisi, a papist. And Lindsay and I discussed it when he first read it. We were reading the biography, Bush 41. At the same time, his favorite quote was, "Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words." Well, really, impressive as that is, you can't preach the gospel by the way you live. That can't be done. That just can't be done. That just can't be done. You can only preach the gospel by telling it out. But you can live by the gospel for the glory of God. Live honorably to God. Honorably in this world. Blamelessly before men. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Believe it and obey it. Set this book, as the rule of your life. Our Lord Jesus tells us in his parable about people who were in his house. He walked in their streets. He preached in their streets. He performed miracles in their midst. And they will say to him in the last day, didn't you dwell where we dwell? Didn't you walk in our streets? Didn't you preach in our streets, in our synagogues? Didn't you preach here? And the Lord Jesus takes from that this lesson: strive to enter into the kingdom of God. Strive to enter in. Because the master is going to rise up soon and shut the door. And there'll be no entering in. There'll be no entering in. Don't be content to sit and hear. Don't be content to sit and practice religion. Hear and do. Hear God's word and obey God's word. Hear it. Receive it. Obey it. Hear it. Believe God. Trust his Son. Follow him. walk with him by faith for the glory of his name. Amen.